Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With the fourth pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select
Speech.
It's Garrett Wilson. Kayvon Thibodeau again. Kyle Hamilton in the end zone. Sauce Gardner coming in hot.
Jets fans, welcome back to another episode of Turn on the Jets presents Draft Season. I am your host, Michael Megan, joined as always by my two guys, Joe Bellick and Dylan Price. Our guy, James Coons, found out we were ranking running backs this week, and he was so appalled that we recognized them as football players, he decided to take the week off from the podcast. So Dylan, I know we got some big rankings tonight. Maybe it'll get contentious again. How are you feeling?
I'm doing good, Meegs. You know, happy to be here, feeling bright and cheery. You know, we're getting into the nitty-gritty now. It's draft month. It's April. You know, things are getting really exciting. So, you know, I'm feeling good today. The vibes are high after last week. So, it'll be a good time.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it. Joe, I mean, we've seen trades that the Jets could trade the number four overall pick for DK Metcalf. They could trade out of four to get the two Saints first rounders. Feels like the draft really needs to get here because I feel like we're just getting wackier and wackier by the day. So where's your mind at?
Well, I'm feeling good about today. I just want to mention to the listeners that, you know, Dylan and I have spent the last week in couples therapy as recommended by Dr. Joe Horning, and things are fine. We're doing great. And it's going to be more of a kumbaya podcast potentially, but now listen, we're having fun and it's obviously going to get spicy, but I like the trades that happened, especially with the Saints. Maybe they're going to move up for a quarterback. I don't know. Maybe it makes picks 4 and 10 a little bit more enticing. Maybe we get a trade back, maybe get, you know, 3 first round draft picks. That would be pretty cool. But I do agree that I can't wait until the draft gets here because it is getting a little crazy, especially on Jets Twitter. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like the thing I'm just praying for is just 2 quarterbacks in the top 9, because I really think that makes who you can get a 10th overall, whether it's your pick of the receiver, whether if they want to go Ikequanu at 4, it gives you a better chance that a guy like Jermaine Johnson will drop, or even like a guy like Charles Cross, if he drops to 10, what kind of question does that pose to Joe Douglas if they go edge rusher at 4? So really, there's a lot of scenarios in with their first 4 picks where I think a lot of Jets fans will be happy. And I'm trying not to, you know, look at the downside of this and just think like, oh, they're going to screw it up again because that's the Jets. But, you know, Joe Douglas, we trust. But we all know it. We all say it on this podcast every week that the Jets haven't had an edge rusher since John Abraham. This is a very good edge class, in my opinion. I think it's malpractice not to spend at least 1 of 4 and 10 on an edge rusher. I think that's something we all agree with. So we're going to get into our top 5 edge rushers. I think won't going to cause too much big spice, but I do think there's some guys we want to talk about that just missed our top 5 that are worthy players to talk about. So Dylan, I'm going to start with you. Who are your top 5 edge rushers in the 2022 NFL draft class?
All right, Michael Megan, my top 5 edge rushers in this year's NFL draft. I'll go 5-1 here. I'll start with the Greek freak from Purdue, George Karlaftis. He's a technician. We've talked about him time and time again on the pod. Power rusher, freshman All-American, really consistent producer his first couple years, kind of took a step back and really worked more as a facilitator the last year and opened a lot of things up for the rest of the team. Did really well, allowed them to pull off a couple big upsets and make some noise in the Big Ten. So overall, I think Karlaftis would be a good leader, relentless motor kind of player for any team he lands on, and he's number 5. 5 for me. And I think he's one of the safest edge rushers in this class. And then going from safe to a risky player who has the tools to be a freak. And that is Trayvon Walker from Georgia. He's my number 4 edge rusher, former 5-star recruit, absurd athleticism. This guy could play inside. He could play outside. He's versatile as all hell. The athleticism is there. I mean, he's got the decent pass rushing skills. He's got to get better compared to the top 3 guys in terms of the moves he utilizes. He's a good run defender, but the story with him is simply going to be, if he puts it all together, he could be one of the top 2, top 3 guys in this class. But if he doesn't, he's just going to be another one of these athletic freak anomalies who doesn't pan out. So it really is risk or reward with Walker, where the ceiling's tight. He could be okay, but if you end up picking him at a 2, 3, possibly 1, like some analysts have floated around, you're taking a big swing on this guy. And then I think our top 3s are all going to be somewhat similar. At number 3, it's Jermaine Johnson from FSU, JUCO, FSU, Georgia, all 3 of his stops in his years. I mean, we've talked about it. Connor came on the pod and talked about it, but he has maybe the 2nd best pass rushing moves in this class. If you're going to give Hutch the top nod there, versatile.
I would not give Hutch the top nod.
You would not give Hutch. All right.
I would know. I think this guy I'm going to talk about that is going to surprise people when I say I think that's the best pass rush set in the class.
All right. Well, he's really refined, high motor, lengthy, uses his length really well. Overall, Jermaine Johnson might be the most refined edge rusher in this class overall. So, I mean, the age has been something for some, but really, I think if you're getting a guy like Jermaine who's going to be productive right away, I don't think anybody's really going to care about his age, especially Jets fans who, someone like myself, who really hasn't seen a true edge rusher in as long as he could remember. So, and then going to 2, it's Kayvon Thibodeaux, a guy I've stood on my soapbox to defend to an extent, All-American, explosive, smart. Character has come into question a lot more since we initially did that Kayvon Thibodeaux episode where I stood on a soapbox for his character. I'll back off it a little bit because a lot has been raised recently, and that's what it is. Not really going to comment on that, but versatile as well. And I will stick with my Jadeveon Clowney take, even though it kills Joe Belichick, that I think that he's that kind of athletic player where he's got the pass rush moves, he's got the intellect, but will he put it all together in the pros? It's going to be one to see. And then top for me is Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. I watched him bully my Penn State Nittany Lions, and that was enough to shed enough tears to put him number 1 on any list. Most refined player. I mean, the best thing that ever happened to him was Don Brown using him as a run defender, because it refined him as the best run defender of these edge rushers. His pass rush moves are so good, and he's really a nearly perfect pass rusher with the highest ceiling of any guy in this top 5. So that's my list. I'm feeling really confident with my top 5, and I know we'll talk about our guys who just missed that in a little bit.
Joe, you seem to be percolating from ear to ear, so I'll let you go next.
Well, listen, I'll go with my top spies, but I love everything that Dylan said, especially about Aiden Hutchinson. I think he's spot on. He's definitely going to be my number 1 guy. I know he's not going to be yours, Mike, but you know, we'll get to that. But Trayvon Walker is my 5. He gets the nod at that spot. Dude is a ridiculous athlete with very good length, and he uses it really well, especially in the run game. But he has a lot to work on when it comes to rushing the quarterback. I think we all can agree on that, right? But let's not talk too much more about him. I feel like we've kind of talked about him ad nauseum as far as going to the Jets. And as far as them picking him, I would rather them not. I think he's a boomer bust type of prospect that I really just do not feel very comfortable with selecting, considering the state of the New York Jets. Number 4 for me is going to be George Karlaftis, man, for Purdue. I think George has kind of been one of these forgotten guys in the draft with the emergence of prospects like Trayvon Walker. And I think there might be a bit of a false narrative out there on Karlaftis. He's been labeled as kind of this one-dimensional power rusher, but I think there is so much more to his game than that. There is nuance in his pass rush, especially with his hand fighting. I was really impressed with some of the combinations he put together when I slowed down the film. He's way more technically sound than he's been getting credit for. I know he has a mixed martial arts background, and I think that's coming through, especially with his hands when I watch him. So I got to stick with the Greek freak there, George Karlaftis. I love him, man. I feel like if the Jets somehow got him in a trade down, I would not complain about it. I feel like on Jets Twitter, people have been back and forth on him and kind of put him to the side like he doesn't even exist anymore. He's a very good player. I think that if for some reason, like I said, he does end up on the Jets, people should be pretty happy with that. So this is where it gets a little spicy, but Kayvon Thibodeaux is my edge 3, right? When it comes to edge guys, there are 5 things that I always look for: power, length, explosiveness, bend, and technique. Kayvon checks off 3 of those boxes, but there are question marks with the other 2. He doesn't have the best bend, and his technique is a work in progress. Plus, he has that Zach Harrison syndrome, where he pretty much gives up if a tackle gets good hands on him around the corner. I know people don't like to hear about that, Michael, but I'm just bringing my truth. This is how I see it. And this is something I said over a month ago. And there are a couple of analysts out there right now in this last week who confirmed this very real and objective observation. I'm not trying to crap on Kayvon just for the sake of doing it. Regardless of that, Kayvon, listen, he has a ridiculous amount of potential. And I think he can become the best pass rusher in this class. I do believe that. I just think he has more work to do than the other guys in my top two. And I just believe that there are better players right now, in my opinion. But again, I do acknowledge that Kayvon might have the biggest upside in the draft compared to the other edge. Well, maybe after Trevon, if we're keeping it real. Number two, yeah, listen, I don't think this is going to be a huge surprise for people, right? I've been talking a lot about Jermaine Johnson, and I've moved him up in my rankings. I think Jermaine is just a more technically advanced prospect compared to Kayvon Thibodeau right now. The way he sinks his hands and feet in particular is something Kayvon doesn't have a good grasp of at the moment. He can do it, but he's just not as consistent with it as Jermaine. He also has a relentless motor and his run defending is on point. I know I've said this before, but Jermaine Johnson, I think Dylan, you said it as well, is the complete prospect. I'm just very high on him. But let me make this clear again. I do like Kayvon Thibodeau, and I would be very happy if the Jets selected him at four. For whatever reason, I feel like I always have to say that every time I talk about him. But going to number one, this is my guy, man. I don't think I need to say too much about him. It's Aiden Hutchinson. I've been talking about him since June. He's the best player in this draft. And although he's not the most bendy guy, he's a technically advanced and powerful prospect whose engine never quits. He's what I call the NFL's version of a three-point shooter. He can beat you inside, outside, or going through you. I compared him to Max Crosby a couple of months ago, and I can see him having a very similar impact on the next level. But sooner than Max, Hutch is a much more pro-ready prospect coming out of college. So listen, man, if you like dips, rips, double swipes, inside counters, which are filthy, bull rushes with two arms or a long arm, a little Euro step to the inside, then your guy should be Aiden Hutchinson in the number one spot. Edge one, Michael Megan.
Honestly, like Joe, the funniest thing about all this was that what you said about Aiden Hutchinson wasn't the craziest thing I thought. Dylan saying he has the highest upside in the entire edge class absolutely blew my mind, because that's something I staunchly disagree with. I think you draft Aiden Hutchinson because of you know what you're getting, and he's going to be a good player. Just that elite ceiling is not something I think he possesses. But I'll get to my edge rankings, which look very similar to everyone else's. Five, I have Trevon Walker. I just, you know, like the combine was enthralling, I think, for everyone. I think it made you definitely want to go back and just see, want to look at the tape, just look at this. Like, is Georgia playing him in a certain way? And are they playing him because he can't be like a traditional defensive end that we see? Or is this the best way to get the most out of him, which they did with a lot of their players? Because we saw Jermaine Johnson in this defense be productive, but we need to see him go to Florida State, be on his own, get to be the guy who can pin his ears back and go. And you saw how much more layers there are to his game. And I think that's foolish to project that Trevon Walker can do that. But I do think it should be taken into consideration that that isn't out of the realm of possibility. It's just, I don't want to make that bet at four overall in the draft, because you don't take good run defenders four overall in the draft. Because trust me, the Jets took Quinnen Williams, and that's what he is, a good run defender at three overall in the draft. Number four, I have George Karlaftis. Honestly, I really like Karlaftis. I think he's a very Trey Hendrickson-like player. I do think Joe's point about him being very technical is very on point. I do think the power is his calling card, but he does put his hands together, sequence them together very well. I do think he's a guy who there's been questions about his bend. He didn't run the three-cone drill at the combine, which is the drill I really want to see him run, because just to, you know, quell the doubters, just to see what it is, because you don't need to be Aiden Hutchinson doing the 6.73 to be like, to think like you passed the test. You know, because George Karlaftis is a bigger guy. I wasn't expecting him to have a great three-cone time. Just, you know, when they don't run it, but do every other drill, it just raises a bit of a question mark for me. Three, Jermaine Johnson, just very good football player, high IQ. I think Jets fans, if you want to really set yourself on Jermaine Johnson, go watch him against Ikem Ekwonu, because he gave Ikem some trouble. And Ikem Ekwonu is a lot of people's offensive tackle one. That spin move he did on Ikem is still one of the craziest plays I think I've seen during this draft cycle. Number two is Aiden Hutchinson. He's very good. I don't want people to think that I don't like Aiden Hutchinson. He's a very good football player. If the Jets somehow end up with him, everyone should be ecstatic. He's a top 10 pick in every draft. this draft, which is a little weaker on blue chip talent. He's going to go one or two because there's not a quarterback worth going one or two, and take him in the top five. I think that's great value, and that's really about it. KT, like, everyone wants to talk about Kayvon Thibodeau lacks bend. I find that absolutely hysterical in this draft class where, like, KT doesn't bend very well. It's like everyone else in the draft class is Brian Burns or Von Miller. I think all five of these guys in this draft class lack bend. I don't think this is a very bendy pass rush class at the top of it. I just find it weird that you're calling it out on Kayvon Thibodeau. If you don't think his technique is great, say that. If you wish you play harder, say that. But to say, oh, he lacks ankle flexibility, I think you could make a point that all five of these guys lack a little ankle flexibility. So that's a point I don't really understand why people have been coming at him for in that regard. There's plenty of other things. Kayvon Thibodeau is not a Chase Young. He's not a Joey Bosa. He's not that level of edge. I think he's much closer to Bradley Chubb, who I don't think has quite fulfilled that ceiling as a prospect, but I still think was a very decorated player coming out of college. And I really like Kayvon Thibodeau. I think that you saw the first 2 years and then this third year, how he started. I think the ankle injury bothered him a little bit, but I want him on the Jets because I want to see Kayvon Thibodeau go somewhere that's going to use him correctly. And I know Robert Saleh is going to do that because I think Robert Saleh is one of the best defensive line producers that you're going to see in the NFL. And that's a scenario you really want to see him thrive in. So that's why I would love him here with the fourth overall pick.
I think Meigs, when it comes to Thibodeau, it's really the combination of the bend with the technique that gets it for me. And I think for others as well. But I completely agree with you that it's not a very bendy class. And if you're going to isolate that one thing, it's not really a good reason not to draft him for sure. I think your best point was about Trevon Walker and just seeing Jermaine Johnson go to another team where he gets to play in that five technique and kind of pin his ear back and go after the quarterback. We've seen what he became. I think that after hearing that, I feel like there are going to be people out there who might start to like him a little bit more. And I'm a little upset with you, Mike. We can't put that narrative out there. All right.
I will see Joe. See, this is the thing is Brad Holmes of the Detroit Lions and Nick Casario obviously listen to this podcast and hearing that they're like, take him at two, take him at three. Obviously.
Well, I hope that's the case because that's where I want him to go.
Yeah, no, just take the ball before it gets out of the chamber. But I think there are some guys that just missed our top fives that we all really want to talk about. And Dylan, I know there's a couple guys that we're really trying to push for that sixth and seventh edge spot for you. Who's some guys you want to highlight that you just enjoyed watching their film and think they'll be good edge rushers? Maybe not year one, but also just be good players down the road.
So I'll quickly just hit on three Big Ten guys, and that's going to be David Ojabo from Scotland, freak athlete. And I know a lot is going to get made about this injury, and will he retain that explosiveness? Will he be able to still be that explosive player that he was last year with Michigan when he burst onto the scene? So I hope he can do that because this is a guy that if he could put it all together is so fresh in football years that the production he's already shown and the growth he's already shown is indicative of something that I do believe could be really true talent as he grows as a prospect. But as we were talking about before we came on, if he doesn't land in the right spot, then he could not reach any semblance of that potential whatsoever. So I didn't feel comfortable putting in my top six, nonetheless, actually my top seven or eight. But I do feel really sad about that because if this injury didn't happen, he'd be pushing for that top five spot. So, and then it came down to Arnold Ebiketie from my own Penn State Nittany Lions, a guy who really was a ferocious and productive pass rusher for the team this year, caused a lot of quarterback hits and disruption, and really grew from what he was at Temple. But I think that the lack of consistency that you see with Jermaine Johnson, those consistent pass rush moves that he developed even more as he went to Florida State. But with Ebiketie, you don't necessarily see that huge next step in pass rush moves, but I still think that he showed a lot of growth, and maybe if that growth could continue at the next level, maybe there's something there for a team to harness, just like there was with Owe. And then lastly would be Mafe, a guy I know you guys have been high on for a while. I had to include him in here just because I really watched a lot more of his tape in the past couple days prepping for this. And he really did push for that sixth spot and kind of firmly grab it. So I was impressed. I know you guys were way ahead on him. So kudos to you guys. And I think, honestly, there's a very strong route where he ends up being a top 20 pick because some team could fall in love with him, because I know that there's already analysts out who are there who have mocked him as high as 17, 15. And even like I saw one today with him at 13. So I will see how it all pans out. But those are three guys who really did catch my eye consistently.
Yeah, no, I just want to highlight your Mafe point. I think the thing that bothered me the most about Mafe's tape was that I just hated how Minnesota used him. the usage really bothered me because I really think they kind of handcuffed him and he could have been used in a much freer role. And I think if he's allowed to do that at the next level, he's definitely a guy who with his traits and with his measurements that I want to take a chance on in like the 20s and just think what this guy can be 3 years from now. He could be one of the five best edge rushers from this class. And I don't think anyone should be surprised, but I have to let the listeners know that there was a tug of war during our pre-show meeting about this edge rusher that Joe's going to talk about because we both love him so, so much. So Joe, I'm going to be mad at you if you don't do him justice. So, you know, got some pressure here.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to try. The guy's Nick Bonitto, pass rusher from Oklahoma. I absolutely love him. I know you do as well. He's got some amazing pass rush moves. He actually has some good bends, something that a lot of the other guys don't have. He could beat you inside. He could beat you outside. My only question with him is like, where is he and how is he going to be used in the NFL, right? When it comes to the Jets, I see him as kind of like this pass rushing specialist, somebody who comes in on clear passing downs. You kind of use him as a quarterback assassin. I also like him as kind of if Sal reverted a little bit more back to say like a 4-3 under where he has five guys in the line of scrimmage. You put him over a tight end and you just put him to work. And this guy would absolutely wreck. And I feel like in that kind of role, he would be excellent in the NFL. I also kind of think he potentially could be a 3-4 outside linebacker. I think he could be an off-ball linebacker as well. There's so many things that Nick Bonitto can be. But the one thing that he is right now is an excellent pass rusher, one of the best pass rushers in all of college football. And I've been really high on him. I'm glad that you started to watch a little bit more film on him. I feel like now he's kind of like rising up your board. I think he's rising up a lot of other people's boards as well. The one thing I love is that he added about 10 to 20 pounds, came to the combine, and it didn't look like he lost any of his athleticism. And I thought that was really, really awesome. And the fact that, you know, he could do that and still be the player he was is pretty impressive. Now, if he could add some strength to that and not lose his athleticism, I think now you have the complete player, because I think that's really his only flaw is that he doesn't really get the push at the point of attack like I want him to. Sometimes he does get bullied around. Like, he is a good run defender, but he just can't match strength with strength sometimes. So he just needs to add that play strength. And this guy could be even a potential starting 4-3 defensive end in the traditional sense. But he has some work to do to get to that point. But in the interim, so many ways you could use him to just absolutely destroy quarterbacks and just be a huge asset on your team. Love Nick Bonitto.
Yeah, I mean, you really highlighted everything. I think his biggest critique that we just don't know is like, can Nick Bonitto set an edge right now in the NFL? The answer is no. But we think hopefully, because he clearly played to me at like 230 pounds. Like, I think that's probably max at Oklahoma. He came to the combine at 248. I would love if he was me playing in that 250 range, because I think he has the best pass rush plan at the moment of anyone in this draft, just what he could do. I really think he, even as just a pass rush specialist, you can move that guy all around the line and use him as a chess piece, let him do stunts and go inside, because he could really give guards a lot to handle as well. Joe, I'm going to throw a name out here for you that I don't know if he's ever going to get to the ceiling of this player, but if you look at this player's development about how he went from part-time player to full-time player, what do you think of in Nick Bonitto, little shades of Shaq Barrett?
Wow, Meigs, those are some huge shoes to fill. If he became Shaq Barrett, that would be ridiculous. Do I see him in that mold? I don't know, man. That's setting the bar pretty high. But I like it because I like Bonitto. And yeah, Barrett's a beast.
Because Shaq Barrett on Denver was just the part-time player. Then when he got to Tampa and he got the Bulls, he really, really picked it up.
Oh, that's a good point, Meigs. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Dylan, I know you didn't want to interrupt our Bonitto love fest, but you have any thoughts on our guy?
You know, I think you guys have been high on him, especially James as well, for a while. And as part of this exercise, I started to dive into him and I'm liking what I'm seeing. I've definitely grown to like him a lot more. I think initially I spent a lot more time on the top tier guys and I've slowly moved down the list now. But I mean, this is a guy who could be some sneaky value for a team. Shaq Barrett is a very lofty comparison, but I don't know. Shades of maybe, but you know, I like what I see. So we'll see what happens down the road for him if he lands in the right spot.
I think there's one player that I'd like to bring to the table just for a second. It's Sam Williams from Ole Miss. This guy's had a lot of success for some of the better offensive linemen in the league. Now he has pretty much no pass rush moves, but he's an amazing athlete and the dude just gets after it. I know he has a bit of a checkered past and I wonder how the Jets would actually, if they'd even consider him. I actually believe that they've been talking to him, but
I mean, honestly, when you have a trade in place for Tyreek Hill, your character scouting kind of goes out the window. I think we can all just call a spade a spade in that regard.
Meeks, you just took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to say. When you go after Tyreek Hill, this whole character thing seems to like not really matter so much, at least not anymore, because I think the Jets just want to be good.
Yeah, no, I think you could. I love Sam Williams too, but he's the only guy who got Charles Cross out of bed this entire season, if you watch his tape. So I do think as a day two edge, if that checkered history does pan out, that could be a very nice value pick for anyone who takes him. But we've had way too much agreement, way too much kumbaya to start this podcast. Now these running back rankings, I'm just very excited just to see just how this goes and which way we go. But Joe, you're the guy who always bangs the table for running backs. You love running the ball. And I want you to start off and just, you know, lay down the gauntlet for everyone.
All right, we're doing top five running backs. I'll start at five. And I feel like I'm probably going to be the only one who has this guy here, but it's Jerome Ford from Cincinnati. I see a lot of potential in Jerome Ford. He's an underrated receiver, an underrated pass protector. He's elusive. He's tough. And he's a savvy runner. This guy knows how to press the line, set up blocks, and create an opportunity to exploit. I think he has the potential of a three down back in the NFL. I also think he's a good day three target for the Jets. He's perfect for a wide zone scheme. And listen, I'm a big believer in Jerome Ford. I don't know how you guys are going to feel about it, but if this guy gets just a little bit stronger, watch out for him. Big time upside with this prospect. All right, Zamir White is my running back four from Georgia. I feel like you're going to like this one, Meeks. I've actually liked him for quite some time. James and I talked about him a couple of times in the chat last year, but Zamir's kind of become like the forgotten running back, almost like, well, not quite like George Karlaftis because we knew who he was, but not that many people are familiar with Zamir White, right? And I think he really deserves to be a part of the conversation. He has the anticipations and patience you're looking for from a starting running back. He's powerful and plays way bigger than his size. In particular, I love the way he fights up through contact and always gets those extra yards. This guy just knows how to finish and he knows how to run. He's an impressive prospect, to say the least. I think he's at his best between the tackles and a better fit for more of a gap heavy team, but Zamir has the ability to play in any scheme. And although he's not the best receiving back, I really like his lead potential. And his nickname is actually Zeus. Need I say more? All right, moving on to three. Big, big fan of Isaiah Spiller from Texas A&M. He's one of the most elusive running backs in the entire draft, and that's saying something considering his size and frame. I was very impressed with his change of direction and how seamlessly he makes defenders miss. Jump cuts, sidesteps, spins, you name it. He has it all in his toolbox. His stop-start ability in particular is borderline absurd. Spiller has a chance to be an excellent running back, easy RB3 for me. And he's a very good fit for the New York Jets. He's a very, very skilled zone runner. I want to make that clear. A lot of draft guides have labeled him as more of a gap runner, but that couldn't be farther from the truth. His bread and butter is running zone. And a team like the Jets would be perfect for him. He doesn't have the long speed of Melvin Gordon, but he does give me some Melvin Gordon vibes. And this kid is only 20 years old. I mean, his upside is through the roof. All right, moving on to number two. It's your favorite, Meeks. Kenny Walker from Michigan State. I'm really high on this guy. He sees the field better than anybody in the entire draft class. His vision is borderline elite. The way he sets up blocks and manipulates defenders on multiple levels is masterful.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This is a high IQ running back who just knows what he's doing. All right, Michael, I see you looking at me sideways, but it's just the truth. I don't think he's this jack of all trades, master of none, the way some, even on this pod, have described him. I think there is true mastery to his game. Last season, I said Javonte Williams was like a skilled pool player because he always knows how to set up his next shot. And well, there is a lot of that in Kenny Walker's game too. This is a very good player who can be an absolute star on the next level. In fact, I believe there is Pro Bowl type potential with Walker. Kenny Eight Ball Walker is definitely one of my guys. Good receiver too, despite not being utilized in the game like he should have been. All right, going up to number one, Breece Hall from Iowa State is my clear-cut RB1. He has the most juice in the entire draft class, hands down. You could literally squeeze it out of his cleats when the game is over. All right, that's how much juice this guy has. His change of direction and footwork is so dirty too. In particular, the timing with his cuts and his ability to avoid contact is no joke, and I've said it before, it's like watching poetry in motion. I mean, this dude is snatching souls out there and making defenders look silly. He's one of the most exciting running backs I've ever evaluated. I'm serious, Mike. It's true. Absolutely.
I have a lot to say. Criticizing Breece Hall is not on my notes. Don't worry.
But listen, I absolutely love this guy. He has feature back capabilities written all over him. I don't think he's going in round one, but I couldn't argue with any team that pulled the trigger on him in that range. Also, and I'm going to go bold here, and I fully expect the tongue lashing. Maybe this is where it gets spicy. Breece Hall, potential top five back in the entire NFL. That's how much I like him. And for the folks who play dynasty football out there, he should probably be the first overall pick this year.
Yeah, as someone who has the first overall pick in his dynasty league, Breece Hall is basically, he's at the top of the leaderboard. I just want to see where he lands. So I don't have to worry about him getting handcuffed in year one. But Joe, I love the top of your rankings. We're going to see if you like these. Well, we'll see how it goes. But five for me is Kenny Walker. Kenny Walker is a good running back. I think Joe's point that he really highlighted, I think he is the smartest back in this class. I really think his vision is top notch. I think he runs with real power. I do think as a lateral mover, he is good enough for what you're looking for. I think he does a great job breaking tackles. That's why the Damien Harris comp came to me, because when you really watch him, I think he'd be like, New England's like the perfect situation for a running back like Kenny Walker, I think, just because he runs tough. He's perfect for that kind of scheme, I personally think. And yeah, I thought you did a great job highlighting what Kenny Walker is. I'm a little more glass half empty when it comes to Kenny Walker as a receiver, because I do think in when he gets those checkdowns that he can make plays. But I do wonder, was there a reason why? Because Michigan State's entire offense was Kenny Walker. Their quarterback wasn't good. Their receivers weren't that good. And just basically, you should be trying to get the ball in Kenny Walker's hands as much as you can, because, you know, he's your bell cow. He's your meal ticket. And the fact that they chose not to do that in the receiving game is a little troubling for me. Number four, I have Isaiah Spiller. Good running back. Do thoroughly enjoy him. I know Joe. Yeah, Joe's face is going to be absolutely when he hears my top three. But I do think he's a good fit for this scheme. I really do like that. I just think the burst and the long speed are what prevent me from loving Isaiah Spiller. I also think his vision can get a little better. I do think the inconsistencies there do bother me a touch, where I think there were certain plays where Isaiah Spiller does everything that I want, and then there's certain plays where I'm just like, you're the best player on this offense, like, start playing like it. And I think Texas A&M's offense is just a nightmare to watch. I hate Jimbo Fisher with a passion, because that man coaches offense like it's 1992, and it just makes me so mad. Number three, I have James Cook, brother of Dalvin Cook. Absolutely love this player from Georgia. I think he's the best receiving back in the entire class. You can split him out wide. He absolutely cooks defensive backs out there. Go watch the game against Michigan. He really gets after it. I really think that he's also even underutilized as a runner. I think for his size, he runs a lot bigger than he is. I do think he can be the complete back. I do think he's a guy who's going to provide a lot of value at the NFL if you put him in the feature back role. I really, really do like James Cook. Number two, I have Zamir White. I just feel like people forget how good this guy is. He ticks every box for me. He's got the speed. He's got the vision. He runs right through contact. I like when I watch Zamir White, there, once he sees the hole, there's no hesitation. He just goes. And we see some of the running backs do a little too much dancing to find that perfect lane. Zamir White just doesn't care. He just runs with that kind of vigor and aggression. And I just love that about him. And number one is Breece Hall. Breece Hall is awesome. Like, he ticks every box you could have. That running back that always goes 33 to 40, that just turns out being a stud, like Nick Chubb was. Dalvin Cook was a little farther behind. Jonathan Taylor was. Breece Hall is going to be right that. If you told me Breece Hall is a top five running back during year two of his professional career, that wouldn't surprise me at all, because that's why I think Javonte Williams is going to be this year. And on this podcast next year, I'll be saying that about Breece Hall.
Me, he's comparing my guy Hall to my other guy, or our other guy, Nick Chubb. I love it, bro. That was amazing. Yeah. I mean, as far as your other rankings go, James Cook, I feel a little rich for my blood. You know, I love me some Cook, but he doesn't really have the contact balance that I'm looking for. And his size gives me some reservations. Other than that, I think there is a lot to like. I mean, he is extremely elusive. He's a decent blocker. I think you said that he's a smart back. He has good vision. He knows where to run with the ball. I think he has a very high ceiling, but I think he needs to add some weight, maybe 15 to 20 pounds. And if he does that, because like I said, he does have the good vision, I could see him potentially having like an Alvin Kamara type of impact on the next level. Maybe that's been a little crazy. I don't know, but I did see him in that light. But putting him ahead of guys like Kenny Walker.
He just gives me the Eckler vibes. I'm sorry.
I could see it. Listen, I'm not going to.
And Austin Eckler isn't the biggest back.
I'm not going to say anything, but it's crazy. No, I like it. Meigs. And having a Zamir White that high, I think he's a badass.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so happy that you have him in your top five too. I thought maybe I was going to be the only one. So
you know, Zamir White's island, you're not dying on that alone. Don't you worry.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
All right, Dylan. Dylan has left us all in the dark with his running back takes. So I have no idea what to expect. So I'm just thoroughly excited to see what Dylan has for us.
Well, boys, I think you guys kind of hit the evaluation of these backs out of the park, and I think you're going to be a little surprised with my picks in a good way. So number five for me is the younger brother of Minnesota Viking back, Dalvin Cook. It's James Cook. I think that as a change of pace back is where he's going to slide in initially at the next level, but Meigs, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is a mismatch nightmare for linebackers. He's a fantastic route runner out of the backfield. Although either, and I'll get on the other guy in a sec, the production isn't otherworldly compared to two backs we talked about in last year's class. I wasn't with you guys to talk about them, but they were the dynamic duo from UNC. The production's not there, but you see some of that pass catcher out of the backfield element that you kind of saw with Michael Carter when you see James Cook a little bit for me. So I see that kind of change of pace element maybe for him initially, but James Cook is a guy that, as you mentioned, Joe, if he can add some weight and kind of get a little more heft on him, maybe this is a guy who could be a lead back potentially or have a breakout year. So that's my first Georgia back. And my next Georgia back at number four is Zamir White. I think the speed, the instincts, the physicality, this guy's a dog. I really like him. I like his potential to be a potential lead back for a team. And I compare this Georgia duo to that UNC duo from last year, where maybe not as productive, but if they both pan out, this could be a damn good duo. So I like these two Georgia backs. So they're four and five for me, with Zamir grabbing the fourth spot. And then for me, a guy that I had circled here, Joe, and you said it, and it kind of ticked me off because I almost thought about dropping him to five in case our Jets, you know, scouting department is listening to this, because if he somehow falls New York Jets, I mean, this is a dream fit for us. Isaiah Spiller. He is a beast in his own scheme. He's got the great vision. I think he cuts so quick. He's fluid. And I think that the only thing for me is just a matter of how would he fit. And I think with the Jets, he would fit fairly well. I think a Spiller-Carter 1-2 punch would be a nightmare. And I think, I know a lot of Jets fans have floated, and we've talked about even on the pod, Melvin Gordon maybe, but you go with a young guy at 20 years old who has all the potential in the world, why not? So I like Isaiah Spiller as a back as a whole to really hit his potential and be a potential lead back. And then our one and two is the same Joe Belek, but I'm going to throw you guys off a little bit here. And that's number two for me is Breece Hall. I do agree that I think his own scheme is the dream for him. I think he's incredibly patient. He was the most productive of these five backs. He's incredibly explosive. And of these five backs, he is immediately going to be the most highlight reel play, the most you're going to hear about Breece Hall a lot, and you're going to see him all over NFL social media and whatever team drafts him for lighting up the field. And I think he takes advantage of the lane so well. And he's a guy who's really going to make a lot of names for a name for himself early and a lot of headlines. But for me, number one is Kenny Walker. I think that you mentioned the elite vision. And for me, his angry running, the fact that he only has 1 year of feature work and what he did was so exceptional that I think this is a guy who can be a lead back and be a lead back early at the next level. And I think that if he gets the opportunity, he will be the most productive of the rookie running backs in year one. But I do agree that any of these five guys could have a higher ceiling than him. It's just going to be, I mean, this five, and then even there's two other guys who I like, but I didn't put them in here. It's so subjective based on the fit they end up with that it's really about that for me. But I think a guy like Kenny Walker could be so consistent regardless of where he ends up because of that elite vision that I really like him. And then the passing game, I have a little frown slash it's like a like mid face because I do agree that with Umigs that there hasn't been enough of that production to really legitimize his potential as a receiving back, but there's been some flashes. So we'll see what happens with Kenny Walker. But I think in pure consistency, he's my top back.
Dylan, I have no issue with you having Kenny Walker over Breece Hall. I think he's an absolute stud. I have those guys so close, and I completely agree with you. He was not utilized in the passing game, but I think that's to the fault of Michigan State. I don't think it has anything to do with Kenny Walker. When they actually do use him in the passing game, he's an absolute stud. And the thing about Kenny Walker is like just the way he like navigates the field to his advantage and moves defenders in one direction to exploit them in another direction is what separates good running backs from great ones. I mean, he has all the tools to be an absolute stud on the next level. I feel like when we first got into this draft season a couple of months ago, we weren't, or other people weren't very high on this running back draft class, but it's shaping out to be very good. I feel like when it's all said and done, there are going to be a couple of pro bowlers, maybe even an all pro coming from this class. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, no, like as I've been studying more guys for the Badlands draft guide, I've watched a lot of crappy running backs, but there are a lot of gems in this class. And that's like kind of the fool's errand that I've really noticed about day three running backs, because it's so easy to say, oh, let's find a guy on day three. That's a great theory. And then you're going to watch 20 running backs who go on day three and you're like 19 of these guys suck. And that's really why, like, because we look like, oh, this guy just did this well and he did this well, he'd be perfect. I'm like, well, yeah, but then he wouldn't go on day three. And that's why you're going to have to look at the running backs these days and just that valuation of it. But I do think there's some guys we should talk about. But Joe, before we do this, I have a question for you. Rank these four prospects by just draft prospect. Don't let rookie season change anything. Najee, Javonte, Breece, Kenny.
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, Meigs,
you, Harris, like, you weren't an ETN guy, so I knew this
was going to matter. ETN was like my running back four. Harris and Javonte were like 1A, 1B for me with Breece Hall, Kenny Walker. These guys are all in the same class. It's very hard to distinguish which one I like more at this very moment. If I had to, considering what I saw from all the prospects this year, I would put Javonte number one.
Yeah.
I would put Breece Hall number two. I'd put Kenny Walker number three.
Dude, and then honestly, I would put
Najee Harris.
Putting Najee Harris four is big because Joe loved Najee Harris.
I love it. That's what I mean. I love Najee Harris.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my guy. So if I'm putting him running back four here, that tells you something about how I feel about those other two guys.
Yeah, no. So, guys, this is no joke. These are Joe Belichick's giving you the stamp of approval for these two running backs. So if the Jets find their way with any of them, but I do think there's some guys I do want to highlight. And, Dylan, I'll start with you because I know I'm very curious which running backs just missed your top five.
I think it's going to be the guy that probably brought both of us to tears leaving him out of here. And it's Zach Wilson's fellow Mormon, Tyler Allgeier. The most, as some have proclaimed, I don't agree on this, most talented part of that offense his year. I don't agree on that, but Tyler Allgeier is a dog.
I mean, like, he's better than Dax Milne. He's better than Gunnar Romney.
But he's not better than, you know, our franchise quarterback. So I do think
that. Are we sure about that? I'm just saying, Tyler Allgeier is a good football player.
All right, well, the human battery ram and how he ends up fitting at the next level versus our franchise quarterbacks, a conversation for maybe a year or two down the road. But regardless, it really did kill me to leave him out because I love him. I think of him as like a little Ryan Matthews-esque, and I remember saying that in the past, and I really think that could pan out, and he might be a sneaky fantasy pick for me. And then I also really like Brian Robinson a lot. I think that he is such a dog, and I love these Bama backs every year, so it's going to be hard for me to see Robinson light it up somewhere next. I don't think he ends up panning out too well next year, but give him 2 years and I think he could make some names for himself. But Joe, I also think he did well with Jerome Ford. I think he really impressed me in the playoffs, so see what he can do at the next level, but maybe he pans out somewhere.
Dude, I really love that you brought up Brian Robinson. I want to touch on Allgeier as well. I feel like you guys might not like what I have to say, but dude, Brian Robinson, man, I was ridiculously impressed when I dove into his film. He's a powerful back, a tackle-breaking machine, good receiver, pretty good in pass protection. He literally has everything you're looking for in a starter, except I do think he's probably just a little bit of a better fit in a gap heavy team. And I think he needs some work before I fully trust him in zone. But the upside of this prospect is through the roof. I mean, I feel like my favorite play of his is when they went up against Florida and he absolutely stole Kyer Elam's soul on that play to the end zone. You remember that, Meeks? But I'm so happy you brought him up because I feel like he is worthy of being in the top five. And he actually almost made mine. I think he's awesome. Now, getting to Tyler Allgeier, a guy who we all loved, you know, from the very beginning. I've watched more and more of him. And I have to tell you that the more I watch him, the less I like him. I feel bad saying that. I feel like he's just like, you know, the footwork is inconsistent. The angles aren't always good. The burst is good, but it's not exactly where I want it to be.
You hit the nail on the head. Tyler Allgeier is one of the more frustrating running backs to watch because you like everything he does. Then you see his burst, and then it just deflates you so much, you start picking holes in the rest of his game. Because what stops him from being an everyday three-down back is that burst. It's just too average. I think Dylan agrees with that. I know you agree with that. That's the one thing that I'm missing with Allgeier, and I just feel like once, you know, that rabbit's out of the hat, you start nitpicking the rest of his game. But I do think he's definitely worth the swing on day three, but no more than that.
I have to admit this. I don't even know how much I would love him in a heavy zone offense anymore, even though that's what he's pretty much been running his entire career. I have to be honest. I feel like maybe he needs to be in a system where he's following lead blockers and there's a designated gap and like he kind of takes advantage of that, even though he does have good vision. And it looks like, you know, he would be well suited for a Jets offense because obviously, listen, he's running outside zone every day. But I do have some big time question marks. He's fallen like really down like big time on my list. I do have some good wide zone runners that are good late round targets if you guys want to hear, unless you want to touch on something else before we
end. No, Joe, give us those because I have one guy I want to talk about because I'm not sure if either of you have really watched this guy, but I want to let the listeners know they need to watch this man. So go for it.
Yeah, just some good wide zone runners that the Jets might target. Tyler Goodson from Iowa. He grew up in this scheme, and this is a system that's just pretty much made for him. I mean, this is exactly who he is. He's one of the better route running backs and one of the better receivers in the draft too. Abram Smith from Baylor, who might be the perfect complement to Carter if for some reason they don't get somebody like Isaiah Spiller, who I absolutely love. Pierre Strong from South Dakota State. This guy has speed for days. And this is really like the quintessential late round 49ers type of running back. And one more guy, Rashad White from Arizona State, another good route runner who just absolutely thrives in an outside zone scheme. I feel like when we're looking at the Jets in day three, I think all of these guys really fit the bill.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I do think that that's a place they're going to really be looking for. I don't know if the Jets offense is, or just the roster in general, is ready to take that day two swing at running back that I know you think is more of a necessity than most people. But the Jets aren't going to draft this guy because he is a little too small. He only weighs 197 pounds. But after watching this draft class where just everyone's like burst is just a little underwhelming, that's for what I've read most points. And a lot of people, you see so many one-gear runners in this class. Tyler Batty out of Missouri is just so refreshing to watch. His second gear, he just blows by dudes, leaves guys in a cloud of dust. His burst is great. I think you can really use him nice as a receiver. He's a guy you can really split out and become a total weapon. I do think his vision's got to get a little better because he loves his speed. He uses it too much. He's got to find that cutback lane a little bit more consistently. But when the plays you see him do it, he does it really well. He's a really fluid mover. He's the type of guy with the traits on day three that you should 100% bet on.
Yeah, I like Tyler Batty. I thought he was like a really good receiver with some juice. I'm into him, Meigs. I think he's, like you said, kind of a little bit more of a scat back, you know, some guy you get him some work in space and you just let him do his thing. I don't know how much I love him in zone. I agree with you. He doesn't really have a great feel for the cutback. I feel like his best runs were in gap. Mm-hmm. So that kind of gives me reservations as far as him on the Jets. But as far as him as an overall prospect, I think he's got a lot of promise. So, you know, I like the take for sure.
Yeah, he was in the same tier as then you have the Allgeier, Robinson, and then I had him and then Ford as guys I really liked a lot, and it kind of hurt to not put him in, but I've liked him a lot. He was a guy I almost brought up as one of our like under the radar guys, but you know, Kate Otten stole my heart, so I had to bring him up there. But you know, you guys are killing me with the Allgeier hate. I mean, between him and Otten, I still have
Allgeier RB6. I don't want to be considered an Allgeier hater. I just do think that the lack of burst does.
No, it
does
I agree.
Honestly, the biggest selling point for Allgeier at this point is just like he's a rookie you can play in pass protection and not feel like Zach's going to get killed. Because
I will say though, couple of these backs. I mean, Spiller's a guy I think of. Robinson, a guy I think of, although scheme fit wouldn't work. And even there was some times I saw it with Breece Hall. Like, any of these guys who could work possibly in zone all showed that they could be decent blocking backs. And good Lord, we need one, because Ty Johnson gets run through like a turnstile on a weekly basis.
Carter isn't good either, as much as I do.
No, Carter has some moments, but I think we need a consistent blocker. So I hope that's something that Joe Douglas kind of prioritizes a little bit.
Yeah, that's the biggest appeal of Melvin Gordon, is you don't have to worry about a running back with that issue, because Melvin Gordon's going to pass protect just fine. That man's been in the league a while. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I have no idea why Melvin Gordon is still out on the market and the Jets haven't given him or offered him a contract. I know he was in LaGuardia the other day. We were all going crazy. Like, is this the time? Is this what's going to happen? I mean, there's word that he's only going to get like $2.5 to $5 million or something per year. I mean, dude.
I would give Melvin Gordon one year, $3 million, if that's what it took, in a freaking second.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer going into the draft. They don't know who's going to be available on day three that really kind of like tickles their fancy. I know there are guys, like we said, I feel like it is fairly deep at running back, and I mentioned a couple of guys who I wouldn't mind, but bringing in the proven guy to really kind of help that running game get going would be awesome. I do understand that the offensive line got better, and that could be like a catalyst to a very good running game. I mean, you look at like Elijah Mitchell and like what he does behind a very good offensive line. I know people love Elijah Mitchell, but he really is very much a product of that good blocking, that great tight end, the good fullback, and just like I said, that good offensive line. So maybe they're looking for somebody like that. I don't know. I would rather them bring in somebody who, like I said, is just a proven player. I feel like that running back room kind of needs it.
I would absolutely be ecstatic if the Jets running back room was Melvin Gordon, Michael Carter, and then you have a day three pick in the Ty Johnson role, and you just run those guys, because this scheme needs a bunch of running backs, because guys get hurt. Running backs, one position you see injuries the most at. You want to have some solid depth for running game that you want to help Zach Wilson grow with and help, you think, you know, nurture him to have that best incubation as he grows as a quarterback. But guys, I feel like this was a great episode, another great episode. Not as much disagreements as last week, but I do think we bonded over some players. I think we gave Jets fans a big insight into just how fun both these classes are, respectively. I think these are two of the deeper positions in this class. I think you guys would agree with that, right?
Yeah, I would agree 100%.
Absolutely, Meeks. Even though I didn't hear the last like 10 seconds of what you were saying, I absolutely agree.
Yes, this is what happens. You know, Joe gets his takes off and he doesn't care what we say. That's basically how this podcast goes. But we will see you guys next week. Make sure you're subscribed to Turn on the Jets podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to Badlands. That Badlands draft guide is dropping on April 18th. So please make sure you're subscribed to check that out. Myself, Connor Rogers, Dan Essen, and Greg Armstrong have been plugging away at that. I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy it. Get a really good breakdown of all the prospects in this draft, and we'll see you guys soon.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.